Assistant this morning, Dallas Wine, represents the Legislative Fiscal Office this morning, and we are opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 5534 for the Oregon Historical Society, and we have with us Norma Paulus. We're honored to have you here with us, Norma, and I would have expected the Historical Society would have filled the room this morning, but your presence is certainly adequate. Now, we have a number of folks who have difficulties in attending today. Representative Johnson is stuck in traffic, but is en route and is unavoidably detained. Representative Patridge has continued to meet with the governor's office and revenue and other folks. He's hammering out some long-term solutions to Oregon's fiscal crises, and I want to give him leave to do that. Representative Winters is excused today, and Representative Devlin, I understand, will be a few minutes late. So with that, let's go ahead and open this public hearing, and again, with my apologies and those folks, Representative Patridge has asked that I try to be as flexible as we possibly can with his schedule. He's working away on those issues. So with that, thank you, Norma. It's great to have you here. You know what the piggyback is for? Mm-hmm. That's for acronyms, and the Oregon Historical Society very seldom, if ever, uses acronyms, so and the Cancer Society appreciates contributions.
Norma Paulus, my permanent residence is in Salem, Oregon. I'm the director of the Oregon Historical Society. The room isn't filled because I didn't know about the hearing until yesterday. And I thought that it must be just pro forma anyway, and I didn't want to impose upon our board enough to help me try to raise money and run the institution. So, and they come from all over the state, so it would have been very difficult to get them down here.
I apologize for not getting further notice to you, Norma, and you should have done a better job.
There are several things that I want to go on the record. Number one, I think that because of so many people not having a long experience with legislative matters, that they view us as simply a nonprofit. This will be the first time since 1898 that the legislature hasn't given the Oregon Historical Society some money, because in 1898 this legislature directed the legislature to have the governor, the state superintendent, the chancellor of higher education, and the state librarian placed on the board as ex officio members, and the message was very clear that it should be an institutional, that it should be an educational institution by placing those state officers on board. And we've been funded since then. And then in 1961, the legislature passed a statute which says that it shall be public policy that the legislature should fund to some degree the Historical Society every year, and that also in times of inflation that they should increase it. So it is not like any other nonprofit. Also, Senator Winters passed the law, which I enthusiastically embraced after I assumed the directorship, that required us to develop an historical and cultural program for children. And after assuming this position as director and knowing that she'd done that and having knowledge of the educational system, I convinced the board to take $900,000 out of their endowment to provide over a five-year period enough money to build the technology system that we needed to do that. And we have now a website that schools can use that is, I think, quite spectacular. I've been asked to make a demonstration of it to the State Board of Education. And just for your general information as a legislator, this is the sort of thing that will help save schools to provide, to use all of these institutions that have educational programs to help aid the schools in giving them instant information about subject matter and also training teachers. And I've gone to great lengths as the director to provide funding for this through grants from outside sources. But the staff that it requires, of course, are paid from our basic monies. and that's going to be a real problem. But it's important for the legislature to understand what a commitment the board has made to this educational effort. We brought Intel in to look at it for advice, and they said, frankly, this knocks our socks off. That is a very important thing. But for this legislature to treat us totally as a nonprofit institution when your own members of this committee have by statute directed us to do specific things and we've done it is very disheartening. Not to receive some support. And I think that this institution should, as it did last session, require the Department of Education to follow through and support the effort.
Nana, can I just ask a question in that regard? Does the governor's revised budget not provide any resource for the Oregon Historical Society?
No.
Okay, and the co-chair.
I noticed from the paper that we've been totally eliminated and lumped in with Oregon Public Broadcasting. Now, to get to the thing that is very pressing, 5 years ago, perhaps even six, the tourist industry started planning for Lewis and Clark. And we will be the only place on the West Coast to have the National Lewis and Clark exhibit. And in 1999, encouraged by the tourism industry and the legislature, the board of the Oregon Historical Society signed an agreement obligating them to have the Lewis and Clark exhibit. And it's viewed as the most important tourist attraction in the last 100 years in Oregon. And the legislature has spent little or no money on any of the efforts. We're the only state that has not received significant amount of money, and the Oregon Historical Society has not received any for it. And we'll be the only place on the West Coast to have it. Montana wanted it, Seattle wanted it, and we got it. And when I arrived there and found out that we were going to have in 2005 as many as 250,000 people come to the Oregon Historical Society, of course with the proper advertising, and there has been not 1 cent allocated for that we would need a new building to accommodate them because they're coming in the wintertime. And we are in the process now. If you drive in Portland, you will see a building that the board is erecting to allow that kind of traffic in and out of the exhibit. And we are raising from private sources $3.75 million to pay for it. We still have $1 million to go to pay for that. It will be finished in July.
That's an advertising board.
What?
That's an advertising.
No, it's a building. Oh. The Historical Society's board of directors has authorized the construction of this new entryway to accommodate.
Oh, that's the entryway. Okay.
See, right. It's a pavilion.
Okay.
And the total cost is $3.75 million. It will be finished this July. And it's the impetus was because of the Lewis and Clark exhibit. Now, in addition to that, we are obligated to pay $1.3 million to get the exhibit here and to advertise it. And I still have about $700,000 of that figure to raise. And the raising money out there is just as bad as what you're experiencing internally because people's portfolio, those that people that give money to, the major institutions are having the same experience to a lesser degree than the legislature is, so it makes fundraising much more difficult. But the legislature has directed us to do this, and we have done it, and we're doing it very, very well. But this Lewis and Clark thing, we have the best opportunity to jumpstart the economy. The quickest way anyone is going to jumpstart Oregon's economy while Yaden and Dan Wyden and the governor are trying to build a long-term effort, is through tourism. And here we're having the greatest tourist attraction in the last 100 years, and there's no money for it. And it's going to fall flat on its face. Now, every time I've been here this session, legislators have told me, oh, you'll get money out of the cultural trust. Well, now I'm going to a meeting as soon as I leave here I've been invited to discuss taking the Oregon Arts Commission into the cultural trust. The Historical Society will probably get $18,000, but after the last action, I don't even know whether we'll get that. Then Randy Miller said, well, Norma, this will come out of tourism. You'll get money for Lewis and Clark out of tourism. Well, we certainly should, but no one has made any effort to do that. And so it's like eating your seed corn. And I'm sure that somebody from Ontario will understand that.
Can't do it and expect a harvest.
Right. Now, we're doing all kinds of things. I was just saying that we have Teddy Roosevelt IV coming here in May. He's not coming because we asked him. When I found out he was going to be in Portland, I asked him if he wouldn't help us rededicate something that President Roosevelt dedicated in May of 1903 to hype up the Lewis and Clark thing, and we're going to do that. We're trying every way we can to heighten the public's awareness of this event. But the fact of the matter is, to have such a stunning opportunity for hundreds of thousands of people to come to Oregon for Lewis and Clark, and the legislature has not provided any money to speak of, and certainly not to us. And we are looked to for the major part of it to be the fulcrum of the whole event.
Norma, the new capital construction on the pavilion entryway, that's set up to both be an exhibit as well as the entryway to the Historical Society projects. Will there be additional fees charged at the door for those that come and participate?
People will have to pay to come in to see it. Except under the contract, we have to pay Missouri Historical Society some part of that fee because they're the ones putting it together.
So they have.
But there, what that will help us with operating costs, but it will not replace the cost of the $3.75 million to build it.
And then the $3.75 construction costs will have for the pavilion entryway will have. Value well beyond the current.
Yes, I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Let me.
But there's one other point that I want to make. If I were coming to you pleading for the Willamette University or some other institution like that, and I found out that we were not going to have $1.3 million, which is in our budget, and $150,000, which you've already just taken out last week from this current budget. I would simply put programs that we have on hold. But I can't do that at the Oregon Historical Society because the programs are our business. For us to put things on hold means that we have an empty shell and we have no way of raising money. Plus, we've already contracted to do these things under previous budgets. So am I making myself clear about that?
Yes, let me just make sure I understand that the special session 6 reduced the balance of your funds by $150,000 for the 0103 budget cycle.
Well, it wasn't exactly that way. I think for the record I should make it very precise. When you had your last special session last fall, our budget was protected through all of the others. But when it came to the very last session, you wiped out everything else we would have gotten by between November and next July. So that was roughly about $600,000.
Yes,
Mr. Chair. So,
but anyway, then I asked Governor Kitzhaber to veto your reduction, and he did that because of Lewis and Clark. I mean, by this time, he understood what we were facing. So he did that. Then, after, I don't know whether it was last month, but it's been since January, that you wiped out the rest of what we had. So we had already gotten one or two payments because of the override. And just because I know that you're interested, I think it was 143,000, or it's around that amount. Let's just say 150,000. I don't know exactly how much it was, but it was about that amount.
Okay, so that was moved out in that
that's
final.
That's between now and July out of this budget, and then the what we've been appealing for and filed for was the budget starting after that.
Okay. That was action taken in the sixth special session.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. But, now, Norma, you've also mentioned then $3.5 million out of the current budget, both 305.
You had placed in our request would be 1.3 about.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
For two years.
Right, okay.
I think it was more like 1.297 or something, but roughly it's 1.3.
Yeah, the legislatively adopted budget for the last biennium was 1.257. The requested was 1.298. Governor's recommended was 1.301 originally in his budget.
Yes, exactly.
So 1.3. I'm sorry, I had 3.5, and
if we had some help for Lewis and Clark, that's what's so desperately needed. I also want to tell you that when I got up there, I balanced the society's budget, and I did so by eliminating 31 positions. So that was 2 years ago. Year and a half ago.
What's the total FTE at this point?
About 50.
Okay, so you're down by a healthy percentage from the 80 plus that were there then, huh?
And that came because when I arrived there, I was actually asked to come in and do some of these things because of experience that I'd had in running large agencies. And it was a very wrenching thing, but the board was not willing to go out and ask people for money to build anything or for Lewis and Clark or for education until we had a balanced budget. And so I'm very pleased to say that we were able to do that.
Other fundraising opportunities, and I move to the possibility of any kinds of national partnerships that we can.
Well, this is very interesting. I learned through some friends that one of the families of the Hewlett-Packard company lived in Oregon. And I made a great effort to become acquainted with the elder child and explained about Lewis and Clark and the Historical Society. And what I was really hoping is that they would fund Oregon's effort for Lewis and Clark. And I got them very excited about Lewis and Clark. And the major fund is run out of Palo Alto. It's a very huge fund. And the director of that fund, who was the former dean of Stanford Law School, called me and I explained, and they asked me what was happening at the national level. At the national level, they'd gone broke. And so I explained the situation nationally and locally. And that fund gave $2 million to the national effort and nothing to the Oregon effort.
So national has been picking up the money that we probably should have been trying to.
Well, I was trying to get it first, but once I was very forthright about the situation, and I can't argue with the decision of the national fund. I mean, this is a nationally known.
What did the national fund do with their resources if they didn't provide it out to the states? To
well, we have the board is considering asking the national effort to make some accommodation on our fees. I can't say any more than that because that's the way it is. And I can't fault the National Hewlett Foundation because
oh, no.
they saw that the national effort needed to be bolstered.
They've given their resources to those folks. And,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Finally, many times when this has happened in the past, we've had coinage printed on behalf of major national events of this nature. Could the Oregon Historical Society zero in on any of that?
Oh, yes, we're trying every way that we can. As a matter of fact, I think I've mentioned to you before that the people of the state of Oregon own the most significant artifact left from the Lewis and Clark expedition, and I've patented it, copyrighted it, and trademarked it. It's the Meriwether Lewis's branding iron. And we are now trying to make replicas of it. It's hugely expensive. So we've been to every foundry in Oregon, and now we're dealing with one back east that would do it for less money. And our hope is that we can sell those. And in order to make a really good profit, we'd make a limited edition and make bookends of the branding iron that we've had drawn by Thomas Hacker, the architect, as the designer. And we'd sell those for $500 and then sell the actual limited edition replica of a paperweight sit on your desk for $300. And we're hoping to help pay for some of the costs of advertising the Lewis and Clark exhibit that way. But it's taken us so long because we had no money to put behind it. We've asked for all kinds of volunteer help and to do that.
With the foundries that we have in Oregon, they couldn't compete with a national size foundry.
Well, the one that back east is saying that they would do it for much less, and we're waiting for them to show us exactly what they're producing to see if it's quality.
Okay. But with regard to coinage, an Oregon silver coin or something of that nature, and I realize that that's controlled by the director of the Mint. But
well, there is great competition for the Oregon Quarter, and we've had all kinds of people give us ideas which have been forwarded to the Mint. But I don't think it'll have a Lewis and Clark bent because they've already made a Sacagawea coin.
Right. And I guess I was hoping for a commemorative other than the current Washington.
Well, we have commemoratives of the Lewis and Clark medal, the Thomas Jefferson medal, which is our seal and has been since 1898. We have those and we sell those all the time.
Is the memorabilia being donated in to the museum?
No, we have to produce it and pay for it. And we have volunteer help in marketing, but we don't have anyone on our staff that's paid to do that. Okay. But our board members have brought people in that they know. We've asked Jerry Frank to be an advisor, things like that. But we don't have any real money to jumpstart it.
Norma, I appreciate your coming today, and I again apologize on behalf of, I know that Representative Johnson would like to have been here and did call in to apologize, but she was stuck in traffic this morning. Did you have anything further on your budget presentation?
No, but just for the record, for your information, I fancy myself as somewhat of a constitutional lawyer, and I had good training when I was in this body. And I always watched things like that, and I had an older lawyer that would always advise me on that. I do not believe, for your record and for future action, I'm not suggesting that you do anything this session, but I do not believe that this session of the legislature can can constitutionally take that $150,000. I think the only way the $150,000 could have constitutionally been withheld from the society is by having the last session override the governor's veto. I do not think this session of the legislature can override the veto of a past legislator. And I mention that only because our board president was John Burns as a lawyer also, and he was president of the Senate. So it's not like we're novices in this business. And we both decided that we would not raise that question. But I think if we had presented a writ of mandamus to the Supreme Court, they would have had to have overridden you on that. We didn't want to add to anybody's problems, and we certainly didn't want to make any enemies down here. But I do want the record to indicate that for future efforts, because, you know, the legislature doesn't have a lot of experience in those matters.
I appreciate it. We don't have the institutional memory that once was vested in this institution. So, I appreciate you bringing that up for the record, and we need to be cognizant of the issue so that, because certainly the Oregon Historical Society wasn't the only agency which was affected by the actions of this legislative session and body relative to the issues in the last legislative session. So, and I don't know. I've not even being a lawyer, I wouldn't have any expertise in that regard anyway. So, again, thank you very much, Norma. Senator, did you have any questions for the Oregon Historical Society, Senator Devlin?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I apologize for not being here. It seems like half the people on this committee are doing triple duty.
And I appreciate the good work that you are doing, Senator. I know that you have double duty and triple duty on your time during this particular Senate. And we knew that you were going to be here at between 8:50 and 9 o'clock, and you were here exactly on time. So thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you,
Norma. We appreciate that. And with that, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on 5534.